Short Sermon 14, The Gospel of the Glory of the Christ, Part 2. The gospel that we preach, called the Gospel of the Glory of the Christ, in 2 Corinthians 4:4, is called that for a reason. The glory of the Christ is none other than the glory with which Jesus is currently crowned, as Hebrews 2:9 says, conferring with Psalm 8:5. It is the glory which our Lord Jesus entered through suffering and death. Again, the gospel that we proclaim is the gospel of the glory of the Christ who is the image of God. It is our gospel, as Paul put it. It is hidden to those who don't believe, but revealed in those that believe. It is hidden not because the true God hides it, nor is it hidden because those who preach the true gospel hide it. If it is hidden, it's because the God of this age has blinded the minds of those that do not believe. 2 Corinthians 4:3. He has even blinded the eyes of those who proudly allege themselves to be Christians and yet do not believe. The gospel of the glory of the Christ. Many pastors who urge their fellow pastors to get more political have failed to be properly theological. I would urge them to get the gospel straight before they get involved in political commentary. The glory of the Christ is the glory of his universal saving significance. For this glory is destined to fill all the earth. Habakkuk 2:14. It must be insisted upon that the gospel that is not being believed is the gospel of the glory of the Christ, the very good news that proclaims that Jesus Christ entered his glory through suffering a death by which the world was reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5:19 compared with Romans 5:10. This is the basic fact of Christian knowledge and of biblical truth. It's the essential declaration of the New Testament. The gospel that is hidden from those who do not believe that the world was reconciled to God. This gospel is to the glory of the Christ, who is the image of God. Note that, because that's what it says in context. The image of God into which all of humanity will be made as all things are made new. If any human person is in Christ, that one is a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The new creation will eventually embrace all human beings because as God himself, along with the Lamb who occupies the throne of God, says, "Look, I'm making all things new." And as God sees it, it is done. Revelation 21, 5 and 6. When we consider the context in which the title, "The Gospel of the Glory of the Christ," appears, Christ is called the image of God. This good news announcement is that of the Christ, who is the image of God, the image into which all of humanity are to be made. In Genesis 1:26a, the Holy Scripture says, "Then God said, let us make humankind." That's anthropon, which is meant to be a double entendre. A man, but also humankind in its totality. Let us make humankind according to our image, kat eikona in the Septuagint, and according to likeness. And in Genesis 5:1, this is the book of the origins of human beings, anthropos, plural, or anthropon, plural, humankind, human beings, plural. On the day that God made Adam, that's the singular, ton Adam, he made him, that's the singular, auton, according to the divine image. Please notice that. Kat eikona theou. Male and female, he made them. Autus, plural. and he blessed them, autus plural, and he named them, he named their, auton plural, their name, onoma singular. He named them, plural, the name, singular, Adam, on the day that he made them. Here we have the basis of what is called Adam Christology. Adam, singular, is representative and inclusive of humankind in toto. And by in toto, that's simply a Latin phrase for in its complete totality, male and female. He is therefore a singular, inclusive representative. I call him the Sir, S-I-R. There are two Sirs, Adam and Christ. The Sir of humankind, per se, of all of humankind, of all human beings. In Genesis 1:26, the triune God proposed and resolved to create humanity in all its totality in Christ, because Christ is the image of God. The gospel of the glory of the Christ is inherently right there in Genesis 1:26. It is also right there all the way back in the beginning in Genesis 1:1, if we understand the implications of the Greek text of that verse. In the beginning is anarche, anarche. God created the heavens and the earth. Anarche means in Christ. If we take seriously Paul's reference to Jesus as not only the image of God, please notice that, ekon to theou, Colossians 1:15, but also the arche, A-R-C-H, long E, the beginning, as well as the prototokos, or the firstborn from the dead, in Colossians 1:18. Genesis 1:1 then declares the end from the beginning. It declares God's end game right at the beginning. The end game of God to make all the created order, including the totality of humankind, to be in Christ the image of God. Some say that in Genesis 3:15 we find the so-called protoevangelium, and that means the first proclamation of the gospel, which is the crushing of the head of the seed of the serpent by the bruised heel of the seed of the woman, that is, Christ Jesus himself. Well, it's true that this is a preaching of the gospel, but it's not the first one, because before that, the gospel of the glory of the Christ is preached in Genesis 1:26, when God resolves to create humanity in its totality in his image, which is Christ, in Christ. And before that, in Genesis 1:1, Peter was certainly on target to say that God spoke of the restoration of all things through his holy prophets from time immemorial. That means from the very beginning in Acts 3:21, because God spoke of the restoration of all things right from the very first verse of the Holy Scriptures. It's no wonder that the Holy Scriptures are said to make us wise regarding the salvation that is by the faithfulness of Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:15. The decree of God in Genesis 1:26 was the determination of God in his triunity to create humanity in all its totality in Christ, who, as truly and fully God and truly and fully man, is the image of God. That is the very good news that God has in effect and will and in will in reality and in manifestation, make all humanity to be in Christ and in him to make all things new. This truth is also to speak of all of humanity being predestined to conformity to the image of God's Son in Romans 8:29. That's all of humanity who have been justified, and that's all humanity, and who will be glorified. Romans 8:30, confer also with Romans 5:18. All because God, who is for us and not against us, did not spare his only eternally begotten Son, but freely handed him over to endure the death of the cross for us all. Romans 8:31 to 32. And of course, now he is risen from the dead. In Genesis 5, 1 and following, God made humanity in his image and called their name Adam. Adam was therefore the single inclusive representative of all humanity, all human beings who received his name. Now, because of the disobedience of Adam, all came under sin and under the sentence and liability to the ultimate consequence of sin, which is death, also called the wages of sin in Romans 6:23. And that doesn't mean physical death, but the unimaginably bad consequence of sin, which some simply call, for lack of a better term, spiritual death. But thanks be to God that Christ, who is called the last Adam and the second man, as the second and final inclusive representative of all humanity, by his obedience, even to the extent of the death of the cross in Philippians 2:8, all will be made alive. All will be made alive. Not just alive, but alive as bearers of the image of the heavenly man, 1 Corinthians 15:22 and 49, the man Christ Jesus. This, by absolute necessity, must include all human beings, for in Christ the decree and determination of the triune God, Elohim in the Hebrew, is realized. Humanity, that is, humanity in its complete totality, en toto, is now made in the image of God, that is, in Christ, who is the image of God. And as such, all of humanity is part of the new creation of the heavens and the earth, and that's all the created order. The tool for the fashioning of all humanity into the image of God, that is, Christ, is none other than the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is referred to back-to-back with the new creation in Galatians 6:14, and 15, which in turn is referred to by the enthroned God in Revelation 21:5 as the new creation of all things, all the created order, including all human beings. This is the gospel of the glory of the Christ, whose glory is destined to fill the whole earth. This is the gospel of the glory of Christ, of Jesus Christ, in whose face shine the knowledge of the glory of God, which will fill all the earth as the sea is filled with water, as Isaiah 11:9 says. When the so-called preaching of the gospel denies or omits this universality, even while it chides pastors for being not as political as they ought to be, it lacks completion, that gospel that they preach. We must decide, as the Apostle Paul and his team resolved, not to be like many preachers who short sell the word of truth. We must speak with a clear conscience of the gospel of the glory of the Christ, by whose incalculable suffering and sacrifice and death and entry into glory by resurrection, he has brought all of humanity and all the created order out of the darkness and into the marvelous light of his new creation. It is even more certain that this involves all of humanity, because in a sworn statement of God himself, every knee will bow to me and every tongue will confess with praise, the Lord is Jesus, to the glory, note that word, to the glory of God the Father. Isaiah 45:23, Romans 14:11, Philippians 2:10 and 11. And Father, I pray that you will confront all of us who have heard this word today, this brief and short sermon, with the undeniable reality of the gospel of the glory of the Christ. Face us with it so that it is in our face. For when it is in our face, we are face to face with Jesus Christ, the reality of the glory of that gospel. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.